This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
Just announced moments ago, literally just announced, Kenny Pickett is the winner of the Johnny Unitas Golden Arm Award, nice, presented annually by the Golden Arm Educational Foundation as the nation's top quarterback who best exemplifies character, scholastic, and athletic achievement. He's the first Panther to win the award. So our congratulations to Kenny Pickett. This will be the first of, I think, many postseason honors that he's going to receive, but he is the winner of the Johnny Unitas Golden Arm Award.
Johnny U.
Yep.
Nice.
So congratulations to Kenny Pickett.
Hopefully soon to be a Carolina Panther.
Stop
hanging
it.
Out here
really?
In the Queen City.
Let's go. Can we get to New York, please? Let's go live. Gotham City, Power Hour. You talk about marrying a segment. Power Hour, we bring one of the power brokers of college basketball on ESPN to the table. Please welcome Seth Greenberg. Coach, good morning.
I am a nobody. Like, here's the deal. This is how big you guys are. You guys are so big. The commissioner comes to you. You don't go to the commissioner. Like, you're like the grand poobah or something. I mean, like, he rolls into your studio, abode, hanging out with the dogs. I'm just in a hotel room in New York.
That's a very good point.
I usually make one an appearance.
Well, you're getting it now, but you know there is still some unfinished business.
Oh, no,
as we head into another college basketball season.
Steak. I can tell you that much. I had a really good steak last night. It was really good.
Yeah, I bet it was.
You were there. I was ready to buy. I had the wallet open, but I said, "Pack, where are you? I mean, Syracuse is playing. You should be here. Yeah, live from Madison Square Garden."
You know, Nova, Syracuse, that'll be a good old-fashioned love fest there. But I look forward to eventually breaking bread with you, Seth.
Wow.
It's long, long, long overdue.
I agree.
Yeah.
Thank you for picking the tab, Wes.
I'm just staying aside of this. I've said it'll happen. That's all I've said. I've said we will have a dinner one night. That's all I've said.
And he's been wrong every
time
he said it.
Ever since. But
there's a thing called a pick. Put it off a little bit, as my opinion.
Okay. All right. Here we go. I have one question to start. After Duke, who's the next best team in the ACC today?
Man, that's hard. I'd say it'd be Carolina. Hmm. Carolina's potential. They're starting to play better. I thought they're starting to defend a little bit. You know, this is the craziest Carolina team I've ever seen. As of the other day, which is amazing. They were 356 in defensive turnover percentage. So they weren't impacting their offense. The offense wasn't reacting to them. They weren't getting deflections. They weren't scrambling, creating turnovers. And they were 250th in offensive rebound percentage. They were number one a year ago. So this is a different Carolina team. The guards have been really good, better. Best thing about freshmen, they come sophomores. They're shooting it better, shooting about 41%. They're taking better care of the ball. Their decision-making's got to improve. They've got to do a better job of establishing Baycott. I thought they did that in the second half against Georgia Tech. But I think the light switch is starting to go on. You know, I look at it, and it's hard to find the second-best team. I mean, you could say Syracuse in the last week, but Colgate dropped 100 on them. Mm-hmm. 100.
Yeah.
All right, so you can say Syracuse, you can say Florida State. You know, I look at their potential, and I say Florida State. You know, Raekwon Evans was out a little bit for family situation, so they lost their leadership. They're relying on three freshmen, more freshmen than they're usually relying on, and I think, you know, that's kind of an impact. And they're really good freshmen. I mean, you know, Cleveland and Morley and Butler are going to be really good players, but they're relying on those guys more than maybe they have in the past. And then maybe Wake Forest has to be in a conversation. Let's be honest. I mean, Wake Forest has put it to Virginia Tech in Blacksburg. Not an easy thing to do. And, you know, Forbes, by the way, he's coming on Thursday. He's going to have the head completely shaved. He's going to be looking good. I told him there was a lot of pressure on him Thursday, being that, you know, the number one Chrome Dome was rolling in here on Tuesday. So he's going to clean his act up a little bit. But, look, he's done an amazing job. You know, one thing is going to the portal, and this is the big thing. Like, everyone, the portal. You know, a lot of times you go into the portal and you get the best player on a bad team. You get the leading scorer. Every bad team has a leading scorer. The key to going to the portal is getting winning players, competitive players, guys that have been coached hard and coached well. And what Steve's done is, and that's where he's a master. He's a great evaluator of talent. You know, he gets Alondis Williams, who's been coached by Lon Kruger. Mm-hmm. You know, and he gets what is it,
Laravia, Jake Laravia,
who's been coached by Greg Lansing. You know, and he's obviously got his own, you know, Williams, the kid who he coached earlier on in his career, and he's got the Walton kid who was coached by Tad Boyle. So you're getting winning players, guys that fit roles, that guys that will not, you know. A lot of times you get these transfers and they want to have their old role. They want to be the guy. But you know what? What you've got to do is, as you come in as a transfer, sometimes you got to surrender your old role to be a winning player. And I think Steve does a great, great job on that. And I don't think they rely on just one player. It's a different guy every night that's been really good for them. And then the final team I think that's going to be in the conversation, I still think that, you know, Mike Young and Virginia Tech have a good team. I mean, I think that they've got to get a little bit better perimeter on in terms of their perimeter defense. I think that Aluma's getting worn out. They don't really have a rim protection or some physicality defensively to keep people out of the paint. But I think those are the main teams. And, you know, I haven't mentioned Virginia because I'm just not sold on Virginia.
Well, that's where I was going with you. You're listing all these teams, and I'm like, man – you buying or you worried? I mean, they've given you some crazy moments. How they beat Pitt the other night was almost comical. And I'm not real high on Pitt right now based on what I've seen, but they had to struggle and find a miracle to win that game. They lost at home to Navy. There have been moments, again, the ACC Big Ten Challenge, you had a chance to win it, couldn't close. I know it's early, and you know the guy's a brilliant coach, but are the pieces there, Seth, for Virginia to be one of those teams at the end of the year that we talk about, hey, that's one of the five best teams in the conference?
You know, if they are, he's more than brilliant. I mean, and look, we know he's brilliant. I mean, he's won a national championship. He's one of the probably five best coaches in college basketball. But, you know, in the end, tricky players make tricky coaches. You got to have something to work with. I mean, he did a brilliant job. But they think about that team that won a national championship. Think about those teams that won all those games. They had really good players. Mm-hmm. You know, Kia Clark is a great complementary player. Reese Beekman's not making, can't make shots. You know, they're void of a guy that can go make a play, actually make a play. Jaden Gardner is a very nice player, but he's going to have a hard time scoring over the size of the ACC. And, you know, yeah, he was a great player at East Carolina, but East Carolina didn't win. And obviously they played through him. And he's a nice player. He's a nice piece. I just look at their roster and I say, you know, they've always embraced the pace, but they've always been able to score and been efficient offensively. They've always embraced the pace and impacted you defensively. They also made you react to what they did offensively and had guys where they played deep into the clock that could make a shot, had the patience and the toughness to come off a screen and a rescreen. Like, their best offense right now is almost a spread ball screen and a kick out in a step and three, not move a blocker. So I just don't know. I'm a huge Tony Bennett fan, and I like the way they play, but I don't see them having ways to score, to beat good teams that are, you know, also can spread them out a little bit and drive them a little bit. Because, you know, everyone's playing four floor gamers, which hurts the pack line. If you have four floor gamers and shot makers and skilled players playing against you, then all of a sudden, as much as you're playing the pack line, you're adding another shot maker, another floor gamer, another guy that can make a play on the floor that you have to guard, that you can't shrink the court against. So I'll probably look like an idiot at the end of the year, not the first time, but I'm not sold on Virginia.
All right. I want to ask you about Louisville because they're an interesting team in terms of wins. The loss at Michigan State, I think we all understand that. They played well in the first half, and then they just got, you know, they got knocked around in half two at East Lansing, but they're not the first team to go to Breslin and have that happen. They come back and get an important win, I think, at NC State the other day on the Matt Cross three that gave them the lead. Seth, you talked to me. I think we were having a conversation. I don't know when it was. It was at the tip-off. We were talking about L. Ellis, we were talking about the guys they had that were pieces here. Can all those pieces, West and everybody else, come together from Mac in time to have a bigger impact in the ACC than we think?
They've got a good roster. They really do. Jalen Withers, you know, here's the problem. Like a guy like Withers, who's really a good player, let's face it, all right? Let me ask you guys, is he more effective at 5 or 4?
Yeah. No, it's probably at 4. To me, it's at 4, but he plays a lot of 5.
Yeah, but here's the thing. You say that, but he's a tougher matchup. Think about it at the end of that game. He's a tougher matchup when he's at 5, using his athleticism, where he brings a big away from the basket, where he can stretch defense. At 4, he's got a guy to match. There's a guy defensively that can match up with him. You got to play Malik because he's just he's a terrific defender. Look, everything he's been through. Ellis is really he's interesting to me because they haven't been as high as him because I guess he doesn't practice great.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you one thing: in the game, that dude makes buckets. I mean, he makes buckets. Jared West gives him really, really good leadership. I mean, they have a decent roster. I think they've got to figure out how to utilize it, and kind of put guys in the right positions. But yeah, they have a good enough roster to be in that top 5. There's no doubt about it. I just don't know if the pieces will ever fit because where guys are most productive, and I didn't even mention Samuel Williamson, who's, you know, to me, I look at him and I say, why isn't he better? Mm-hmm. Why isn't he better? I mean, he's 6'8". He can handle the ball. He can pass the ball. He can rebound the ball. I think they have the pieces. I just think figuring out how to put him in the right spots and playing the right lineups, like you can acquire talent that doesn't make you a team. We're seeing that all over the country right now. I mean, like, you know, you look at Memphis, they acquire talent, but they're not a team. You know, you can acquire talent, but how can you take them and make them a cohesive unit? I think that's going to be the challenge for Louisville.
Seth, I've been perplexed by one particular team who I thought would get out of the gate quickly. Now, they may turn it around. I hope they do. But every time I was with Mike Bray, whether it be at the tip-off, we saw him at the ACC Cross Country Championship, and when I have Mike Bray talk about, hey, I've got an old team, those are normally the right combinations for Bray to get off to a good start. They have really struggled. Are you surprised with Notre Dame's slow start?
Yeah, I had them in the. You know, I thought they were going to be an NCAA tournament team this year. I am surprised, and it kills me because Mike Bray is so normally he's abnormal. I mean, he's so good for our game, and he cares so much, loves Notre Dame, and you know, Goodwin's playing well. Prentice Hubb, I mean, guys, look at his numbers.
Can't throw in the ocean.
I mean, it's mind-boggling to me. He's a really good player that, for some reason, just. The light bulb is not on. I mean, it's hard to watch. And there's another example. Nate Leshefsky, he's rebounding the basketball, not as effective offensively at the 4 because now all of a sudden he's guarded with a smaller guy that's quicker, that can close out on him a little harder, that can run him off the 3-point line, that makes his, you know, he can't put the ball on the floor against those smaller guys. So, you know, that's been a problem. But Prentice Hubb, and it just breaks my heart to see a senior – who's had such a great career, who's surrounded by pretty good players. Atkinson gives him an inside score. Now, he doesn't have great lift, and people are just walling up on him right now and bodying up on him and staying down. Like, you know, you can stay down on him and really make him score over the top of you. You don't have to go for those shot fakes that where, like in the Ivy League, he could do pivot and create angles, and he could see over the defense. He can't really see over the defense, you know, at the level he's playing now, but it's a shocker, and I'm look. No one pulls harder for Mike Bray than I do. I love Mike Bray. I think he's so good for our game. I think he's a terrific coach. He's had tremendous success. Anthony Solomon came on, who's I thought was kind of giving them a spirit defensively. You know, where he said, no, Mike, we've got to spend more time on this.
Right.
But they're not very good right now. Hard to say. Clemson to say, you know, same thing. I thought Clemson kind of, I think Clemson has a chance because they're going to be in every game.
Yeah. Here's my thing about Boston College. We thought Earl Grant had a long rebuild, but I'll say this, Seth, I've watched them play a couple times, not full games, but in sequencing. Boy, do they play hard. Holy smokes. That group goes up and down the floor and they challenge you at both ends in every possession.
Hey, I totally agree with you. He's got their attention. You know what? We were all sitting together when Earl came on the set, and like you could tell, or the players came on the set actually, and you could tell they had 100% buy-in. Mm-hmm. You could tell that like what he was asking them to do, they were willing to do in terms of competing, playing hard, being aggressive, attacking, playing freed up offensively, but really, really impactful defensively. So look, I mean, I don't know how many games they're going to win in the league. It's a good year. We've got to be honest. It's a good year not to be a great team in the ACC. The league is not as good at the top.
Right.
It just isn't. You know, it's hard to, you know, it's hard to say that because did you ever think? Let me ask you, Pac. You've been around it forever. All right. The depth of the league, and obviously there's a zillion more teams in the league now. Obviously, you knew it when there was 8 teams in the league. If you rate the leagues in college basketball, and I notice the ACC network, but I'm, you know, let's be honest. I mean, I would think it would be SEC, Big 10, Big 12, Big East, ACC. Right, well, now, I mean, from results.
I will be completely transparent. When you only have one team ranked in the AP Top 25, and we're talking about men's basketball, that hasn't happened since January of 2011. That's all you need to know. Mm-hmm. That's all you need to know. That's it. Period.
Yeah, it's now. Look, everything goes in cycles.
That's
and,
right.
You know, who knows? Problem is, here's the problem, and you guys know better than anyone. Where are you going to get? It's like other leagues that have gone through this, and everyone's going to go through it. Mm-hmm. Where are you going to get those wins to build your resume when you're playing 20 game league schedule?
That's exactly right.
Yeah, that's the. In some ways, the 20 games is the anvil you can't shake because you have to then, and you know this from coaching in the league even at 16 games, Seth, when you were at 16 and you played 28 and the 28 had the MTE in it occasionally, not every year, seemingly now they're MTEs for everybody, but you had to do your checks and balances on the non-conference. You had to make sure you played the 4 or 5 top 100 non-conferences at 18 games. I think that 4 has been reduced to 3 plus the MTE now, and in some cases, maybe only 2 top 100s plus your MTE. It's a tricky math problem. The old Mark Gottfried balance doesn't apply anymore.
Yeah, you know, like here's the thing: like you know, like who you get in your ACC Big Ten Challenge game is really mm-hmm. important now. You know, yeah. Because that gives you another one with a quality opportunity, whether it's home or road. You have to play a good MTE. You know, where you're going to get 2 good opponents.
Yeah.
Because you're going to have to play, I mean, and like people complain about it, you're going to have to play 3 or 4 guarantee games mm-hmm. for no other reason than to generate revenue because you can't give up that many home games. It's not like, oh, well, yo, play 4 home and homes. Well, you know what? Doesn't work that way because 4 home and homes doesn't probably hit the number that you need to hit in terms of your budget in terms of the athletic department. Like Carolina's not playing 4 home and homes, you know, maybe Virginia Tech could play a home and home. I'm not sure. Virginia, you know, when they're selling whatever, you know, that place seats,
right?
You can't give that revenue. I mean, it's so, like there's so much that goes into it, and then you need the right partner, So like when you're playing 20 and you get the ACC Big Ten Challenge, you got one other made for TV game, you're in an MTE, you don't have a lot of wiggle room in terms of scheduling. You just don't.
Yep.
And, you know, I think it's going to make it really, really hard for the league. I mean, it just because, you know, like we used to always talk, you know, other leagues, did they take care of business in a non-conference? Well, if you don't take care of business in a non-conference and your league is not strong, you have an issue. No matter how good the league is, no matter how hard it is to win on the road, no matter, you know, like, you know, well, you know, the league was, you know, young at this point. Our teams have gotten better. That's great. That's good to use the excuse when it's involved with you. But those other leagues used it as excuses, and it didn't hold much water.
Seth, I'll say one thing, though, and I know it's still early in the process, but, you know, the numbers are the numbers, as we know it today. But I would tell you the one team that is ranked in the ACC in the top 25, they're capable of winning the whole thing. Mm-hmm. And again, I think Purdue's great. They're the number one team in the country this week. Should be. And I think the cool thing about college basketball right now, again, just the early visual from where we're sitting from, I think every conference in this country, much like we had in football, I think every conference right now in college hoops has at least one team that you look at and you say, you know what? They're good enough to win it all. I think every league's got one. And to me, that's going to make for an incredibly exciting year of college basketball, whether we're talking about the ACC, Pac-12, or anybody in between.
Pac, that's a great point. It really is, and some have too. But, I mean, you're right. I mean, look, Duke is special. I mean, here's what I look – this is old school Duke to me. Now, obviously, they weren't against Ohio State for a period of time, but old school Duke is physical defensively. Old school Duke is disruptive. Old school Duke doesn't allow you to run your offense. And Trevor Keels and Jeremy Roche, they can dominate you at the point of attack. Old school Duke has guys that have versatility. I mean, Banchero's is unique. Old school Duke also has some maturity. And that's, you know, that's you know, Wendell Moore and Mark Williams. I mean, and, you know, Bill Johnson. I mean, they have everything. The teams that Mike's won national championships with, that they're not, you know, Ben Carroll's great, but they have guys that complement him, and they have toughness and a physicality. Yeah. I really, really like this team. I mean, I think they'll get better. You know, they'll get better. Here's the one thing they've got to do, and I've said this, and I'm not a Hall of Fame coach. I don't have 8,000 gazillion wins. But remember, you know, the year that they R.J. Barrett and Zion Williamson, they lost to Michigan State at the end of that game. They didn't have one way to get the ball to Zion Williamson where he wanted, or they didn't do it, at least. They've got to have, at the end of a game, they've got to have one of two ways to get the ball to Paolo Banchero where he wants it, all right, so that he, you know, whether it's in the mid post, whether it's the elbow, whether it's so that they, at the end of a game, in a close game where you're going to play that close NCAA tournament game, we're going to get to our best player where he wants it, where he can go and win us a game. Does that make any sense?
Yes. Yes. And it adds to what has been a very, very enlightening first Greenberg visit with Packer and Durham in this new basketball season.
In fact, it's so long, it almost counts for two visits.
Now, wait. I've got something else before we're done here. I just want some quick clarity before we say goodbye, and you go off to the Jimmy V and – you know, you have lunch at the Park on the Green, Tavern on the Green, or whatever.
Hour on the treadmill.
Yeah. All right. So here's the deal. I just want to make sure that you won two ACC Coach of the Years, and that was against old school Duke. Am I right about that? I don't want any new school Duke. I want those qualified as Coach of the Year awards against old school Duke. Is that right?
Probably one of the years it was an old school Duke team. That the J.J. Redick year, no. Sheldon Williams, that was yes.
Seth, this is a yes or no answer. It's not an exploratory question. It's a yes or no answer. Did you win two Coach of the Years against old school Duke? The answer is yes. Okay. Second question.
Thank you.
The most enlightening quote of this entire piece has been, freshmen become sophomores.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, when they become sophomores, they actually throw to the right team and take a good shot. But it's much better than freshmen.
I will say this, though.
As freshman North Carolina's guards, they kept on throwing it to the wrong team. They kept on taking shots they couldn't make. All right, they kept on playing faster than their abilities. And you know what? That's a hard thing to watch, bro. This year, better shot selection. They throw it to the right team. Now if we can get them to guard, Carolina's going to be really good because they got to guard the ball.
Well, all they right. guarded last week against Michigan and Georgia Tech. They looked the part last week.
All right.
Those games, they took forward.
All right, real quick. Tavern on the Green, treadmill, V Classic. Got it. Thank you, Seth. Good to see you.
Treadmill practices. I have no life.
Yeah, okay. We'll move along. See you next week. Real quick, we've got basketball for you. Full day of
I'm just glad we didn't miss Mario's press conference at 10.
We had a lot going on there, but it's all good. At the end, Greenberg makes his return, triumphant return to Packer and Durham. Don't forget, we got basketball for you. Full day on Saturday. First game is at noon Eastern. It's on the ladies' side. Clemson visits Syracuse at the Dome, 6 o'clock Eastern. Then at 8 o'clock, Smith Center in Chapel Hill, Hubert Davis and the Tar Heels off of exam break. Welcome Mike Schrage and the Phoenix of Elon right here on ACC Network and streaming live on the ESPN app. We got another national title to tell you about. Last night out on the West Coast in Northern California, Florida State adds one to the ledger in this athletic season of the ACC next.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham. Big, big press conference coming up top of the hour, and we will get you to Miami.
Yep, Mario Cristobal is the new head coach at Miami. We'll see that in its entirety at 10 o'clock this morning. Our congratulations to Mark Krikorian in Florida State, the women's soccer national champions this morning. They beat BYU last night on PKs. It was a scoreless regulation in overtime. They went to penalty kicks, and Yuli Zhao provided the game winner against the Cougars of BYU to win it for Florida State. And the Noles, who were denied at the doorstep on PKs a year ago against Santa Clara, beats BYU in the same fashion last night out on the West Coast.
Third national championship for Florida State since 2014. They joined North Carolina as the only programs who can make that statement. And again, when you've been in 5 of the last 9 championship matches and 8 of the last 11 college cups, this is a premier program. And congratulations to Florida State bringing home the hardware back to Tallahassee. Nice job.
When we come back on this Tuesday program, we go to Chestnut Hill. Standing by is number 5. Phil Jurkovec is coming back to play for Jeff Hafley in 2022. We're going to talk to the man with a gunshot cannon arm when we continue, Pack. Phil Jurkovec is returning to Boston College, and that's good news for the Eagles and great news for the ACC. He'll join us next. Packer and Durham continues in a moment on ACC.
Packer and Durham. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham on a Tuesday. Again, we will have the Mario Cristobal press conference coming up top of the hour right here on ACC Network. Wes, you just pointed out it was kind of a crazy day.
Yeah.
You almost see almost every day now, transfer portal. He's gone. He's declared the NFL. He's not coming back. But yesterday here in the Atlantic Coast Conference, and for BC specifically,
good day.
Some really, really good news.
Yeah, Phil Jurkovec is coming back to play the 2022 campaign for Boston College. He joins us live this morning from Chestnut Hill. Phil, first of all, thanks for the time. It's great to have you back. It's great to have you back with us. It's great to have you back in 2022. And I'll ask this. I'll start this conversation a little bit like I started about a year ago with Kenny Pickett. And if you can hear me, I asked Kenny back in January or February of last year. Can't hear it all? Oh, you can? Okay. We'll go back to Phil in just a second. But, Pack, I want to start this the way we start visits with Kenny last winter. What was the reason? What was that walk-up and communication like? Now, we know one thing. Pickett had the high ankle sprain in 21. Jurkovec had the hand injury. So I think we got our technical situation worked out with Phil Jurkovec in Boston. Phil, can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, I'm going to ask you the same question I asked Kenny Pickett last winter when he announced he was coming back. What brought you back? What was the thinking? How did this process play out for you?
Well, I was talking with my family and the coaches. They all gave great advice, and it was pretty clear that I didn't get a full year, and I have a lot of progress to make still. So I want to come back, have a full off season of good work, just continue to progress. I feel like I've progressed since I've been here, but a whole another year would be great for my development.
Phil, what's the hurry, man? College life's good, isn't it? I mean, you folks up there in BC, everybody gets along. I've never understood why folks, I know there's a lot of money out there, and I get it. But, you know, college life is pretty cool when you sit back and you say, you know what, I'm playing a sport, I got great coaches, I got great support staff. If I stay relatively healthy, man, the sky's the limit. In 22, people are going to be talking about me a bunch, not only within the ACC, but nationwide. Seems kind of like a no-brainer to me.
Yeah, you see a lot of these quarterbacks who have come back. It's worked out for them. Kenny, I got to meet him this summer at the Manning Passing Academy. He's a great guy, but he's had a ton of success, and it's worked out for him coming back. So you see it all over the country with these quarterbacks who maybe come out a little bit earlier and would be better with another year to develop in college.
Well, you talk about improvement. How much of that is on-field and how much of that is off-field? Film, all the type things you you know, even the individual workout sessions. I mean, I've come to find out with guys in the college game, you mentioned the Manning, there are three or four things that you can do in the offseason to help kind of get better as a quarterback. Is some of that involved in this too?
Definitely. It's a mixture of film work and on-the-field work. Specifically for me and our offense, I'm excited for this offseason. The ability to work with the receivers. I think we're going to have a really detailed offseason and really try to work on the routes and our connections so we can grow the passing game.
Phil, there seems to be a momentum with this program, and I think Jeff Hafley deserves a lot of the credit because when he rolled in there, I think there was a thirst of, hey, let's go compete and start getting better and breaking down some barriers and everything else. We feel it down here in Charlotte as we do the show. I'm sure you guys in the locker room sense it too. Sometimes you don't because you don't understand what the rest of us see. But what about the energy that Hafley and his staff have brought to this football program?
They've brought great energy since day one. And it's really up to us as players for continuing that energy and for bringing it out. We want to play with an edge, and the coaches bring that, and it's really up for us, the players, to put it on the field and really show it. We're coached really well, and it's up to us to execute better.
All right, I want to run something by you here, and this is often a question we'll ask coaches, but you know, you're a learned guy, you're an older guy now, veteran piece. If I were to ask you the bowl game against East Carolina that's coming up.
Out again.
Oh, okay. All right, hang on just a second.
Okay, now I got you.
Okay. Here's the question. Is the bowl game as much about 21 as it is 2022 for Boston College, the Military Bowl in Annapolis against East Carolina?
I think this a win in the bowl game can be great for carrying momentum into next season, but this season is this season. The bowl game is for this season. Hmm. And we have guys that are leaving after this bowl game. We want to send them off with a great win.
Have you looked at 22? Or are you just – I mean, I know you're focused on East Carolina, but have you taken a little sneak peek at what the 22 schedule looks like?
I have, and an important game on that is Notre Dame. It's an exciting one to be able to go back to Notre Dame and play on that field.
All right. Before we let you go, I want to see if we can break a play down. I think we've got a play in a holster here. Can you hear me on this one? We're going to show you a play. I want you to take me through this play, Phil, and you know the play. It's against Virginia Tech. Throw the pick.
I throw the pick. It's bad ball. I tried to force it downfield to something that wasn't there. I tried to get it over the corner's head, and I missed the throw. It was a good play by the corner. He ends up running with the ball loose, and Jalen makes a great play. This is a play, one of the most proud plays I've been a part of because of how Jalen hustles to go get the ball back. It just shows his heart and toughness, his competitive spirit. And I also was pretty mad that I threw the pick there, so I wanted to try to go and get the ball back if possible.
Now, point of clarity here, I don't know that I've ever seen a quarterback dive headfirst into a stack for a loose ball, Phil.
Well, it wasn't really exactly like that. I think the ball was out in the middle of the field, and it just kind of popped right into my hands. But Jalen really shows his toughness there, getting in there, ripping that ball out. Mm. And then you see Mahogany going at it too. I think the Virginia Tech game was a game where we played with passion and determination, and that's why we were able to win.
Hey, Phil, let's cut to the chase. You knew, hey, that pass was so bad, I had to go recover the fumble. That's what that play was. I had to go get the ball.
Exactly.
That was on me.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I had to get it.
I love it.
Well, I tell you what, we're excited to watch you go to work against East Carolina in the Military Bowl, and just as excited to have you back in the ACC in 2022, Phil. Well, all right, we appreciate it. We had a little bit of a technical difficulty. We appreciate it. Be well. We'll see you soon. Phil Jacoby.
He says, Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. That's right.
I can read his lips. Where's mine?
Excited for to see Phil Dracovic on the field in 2022. Great news for Jeff Hafley and Frank Cignetti Jr.
And for the league.
Oh, yeah. For the league.
And again, the quarterback play that we bragged about all season long in 21, we're going to sound like a broken record in the summer of 22, assuming we're still here. Because this league is going to be deep, deep, deep again at quarterback.
Okay.
With really good, talented quarterbacks.
Cunningham, Dracovic.
TVD.
TVD.
Hartman.
Leary.
Leary.
Hartman. Jordan Travis. I'm rolling them off right here.
DJU's still there, but he may not even be the starter.
Okay.
Who knows?
By the way, the Virginia Tech scenario, we were talking about guys getting into the portal yesterday. Brennan Armstrong technically has a year. He's got a year left. Brennan Armstrong could be back. Boy, the Cavalier fans are like, what are you doing, Durham? Brennan Armstrong?
Again, we're going to go 7, 8, 9 deep.
And this is just the running list. I got 8 right there.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, the league's going to be really, really good at quarterback again. And who knows who emerges?
Yeah.
Right? That's the other thing. You just never know.
We could really use, I was thinking on this show, and I know it's an institutional thing, and this is a wild, this can't happen. Sure would help if we could get a look at the portal just to see who's in and who's out, wouldn't it?
Well, it changes.
Holy smokes.
I mean, yesterday was almost, like I said, it was comical. And based on who you follow on Twitter, your social media, and
right,
all that stuff.
Right.
I mean, I got stuff popping up nonstop, and you're like, for crying out loud, is there anybody left? Where are you going?
Yep.
I mean, it's got to be a landing spot for, I hope, most of these kids. And a lot of times they're going to find out, you know what? I had it pretty good at school X. I'm not sure what I was thinking. So never know, man. It's a crazy world we're living in right now.
James Mitchell, by the way, of Virginia Tech declared for the draft yesterday. We should note that
Governor.
Because he got hurt. In the second game of the year against Middle Tennessee State.
He's a really good player.
Yeah, and he'll be missed by Coach Pry and the Hokies next year as well.
No question.
All right, when we come back, we're working our way toward the top of the hour. Pack and I are going to hang out for the Mario Cristobal news conference down in Coral Gables. It starts at 10 o'clock, so we'll bring that to you live here on ACC Network. We'll look ahead. We got a couple basketball games tonight in the hopper for you. It's exam week. It's a little few and far between at times this week. Most of the action waits on the weekend, but we'll chronicle the night in hoops. A few more notes. Kenny Pickett's won a national award this morning, and more in our final segment as we turn the corner on Tuesday's program on ACC Network.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Fans, we got you covered.
Yep.
10 minutes away, press conference live right here on ACC Network.
That is correct. Thanks to Phil Dracovic, Seth Greenberg, Andrea Adelson, Mike Young. Josh and Drew delivered us a quality program here today.
As usual.
Yep.
No surprise.
Lumberjack's doing that. And we got Mario Cristobal at 10. Only a couple games tonight on the basketball slate. Virginia is on the road. There's a brand new arena on campus at James Madison out of the Colonial. And Virginia's going to travel over to Harrisonburg over on I-64 there and play the Dukes tonight at 6:30. Road atmosphere, Colonial game. A lot of people be interested in seeing the Cavaliers. A lot of people be interested in JMU's new building. The BPI number's a little staggering.
It's not.
50%?
Every game is 49.9%.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, it's you either win or you lose.
Mm-hmm.
All this BPI, FPI, 74.2%. What does that mean? You either win or you lose. It's 50-50. But I think given the struggles of Tony Bennett's team so far earlier this year, I mean, nothing surprises me right now. I think they're trying to find it.
Yeah.
You heard Seth Greenberg talk about their offensive woes and so forth, the way they like to play. Wes, I've seen enough from Virginia early to know that they've got a lot of work to do. I mean,
yeah.
They lost at home to Navy. They lost at home to Iowa. They had no man's land against Pittsburgh and found a way to win. They take it on the road. It wouldn't surprise me to see them have their hands full tonight
yeah.
at all.
Hat tip to Jeff Bourne and the athletic administration at James Madison for getting that done, having the Cavaliers come over and help them open that new building.
Everything about that's great. Yep. In-state rivalries, people love to see it. There's always a buzz to it. But as far as Virginia basketball goes, I think the mindset of, hey, that's one of the elites in this league right now, they've got work to do.
Yeah.
And I'm being kind.
Villanova is at Syracuse tonight.
That's a great test because Jay Wright's team is out of sight.
Yep. That's on ESPN at 9 o'clock, by the way.
Villanova is a Final Four caliber team. And what I do know about Syracuse.
I should say that's in New York. I said it was at the Dome. It's in New York City. Sorry.
Okay. I'll say that Villanova, in my opinion, is a Final Four caliber team. Mm-hmm. The one thing we know about Syracuse is that they're going to have nights when they make everything they look at, and they're going to wear somebody out that you go, whoa.
Yep.
There's going to be nights where they can't throw it in the ocean, and you're going to go, whoa, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think we've already seen that with Cuse, right? Yeah. We've kind of seen that already. I mean, the Colgate game, they gave up three bills, and they were up, 16-2 in that game and lost?
That's
up 100? Then you see a game like Saturday where they go down and they win at the Tucker Center at Florida State, snapping the Noles ACC winning streak at 25 home wins. So I think Syracuse could be one of those teams based on a given night, the way they could potentially shoot it and line it up, could be out of sight. But this Villanova team is legit. They are really good.
Texas Tech and Tennessee is the other game of the doubleheader tonight at the Garden in New York.
Haven't seen Texas Tech, but I did see Tennessee. We're out in North Carolina.
Oh, boy.
And they punked them. Yep. Rick Barnes got a good club. A
couple of ball games tomorrow on the men's side. Miami and Virginia Tech are at home. That's a doubleheader for us on ACC Network. Miami hosts Lipscomb, and Virginia Tech will host Cornell, as we noted in our visit with Mike Young. So, there you go.
Still early.
Yeah, and then we got games kind of spread out a little bit through the next couple of days, and then business picks back up on the weekend.
By the way,
yes, sir.
Your bowl assignments. Are you excited about your bowl games?
Yes. I'll be in Tampa for the Gasparilla Bowl, which features Florida and UCF. Interesting.
And that could have been awesome 3 years ago.
Well, yeah. Roddy and I are looking forward to it. Tyler Davis will be with us. And then we've got Eric McLean and I'll be in Birmingham.
Who'd you get for that game?
Auburn and Houston. And then I'm going to be a week from Friday at an FCS semifinal.
See, I think that game will have some juice.
Could be James Madison, North Dakota State.
That'd be good.
Yeah.
Would be really good.
Could be pretty interesting. So, Mario Cristobal coming up top of the hour here in just a few minutes. We'll go live to Coral Gables for that. We told you earlier, top of the hour, it was announced that Kenny Pickett is the winner of the Johnny Unitas Golden Arm Award. He is also a Heisman finalist, one of four named yesterday by the Heisman Trust to appear in New York this weekend. I don't know if he wins. You're going to hear the odds are long, but here's the deal. He had an amazing senior year, an amazing final season for Pat Narduzzi, culminating in the ACC championship.
Well, that's normally how it works when you get invited to the Heisman finalists there, Wes. You normally don't backdoor your way into that.
Yeah, but Pac, in the last month is when he came to the national surface, something we've been following all along.
No, I get that. To me, that's a whole separate issue.
Right.
There were a lot of folks sound asleep on Kenny Pickett and Pitt.
Yeah.
I would even tell you the AP voters were sound asleep on Pittsburgh football for a vast majority of the season. And maybe it was that Western Michigan game that people just went, oh, yeah, I'll see you later.
Mm-hmm.
See ya. Catch ya. And they never thought about looking at him again.
Right.
Right. And maybe it was, hey, they got on a run and then they lost to Miami and people went, put him on the back burner. He only lost two games.
Yeah.
That's it. But Kenny Pickett's been out of sight. I mentioned to you today, his story to me is refreshing in this day and age where so many student athletes expect to start, expect to be the guy, and all of a sudden it doesn't work out, and they go, I'm out of here. I'm gone. See ya. Put my name in the portal. Kenny Pickett said, forget that. Let me roll up my sleeves and get to work. And could have taken the money last year and didn't. Said, you know what? Unfinished business. I got a chance to get better at my craft. I enjoy college work. Like I said, every time I see him win an award, it's good for the sense of what college athletics should be about.
Yeah.
You get your degree. You work on your craft, you make great relationships, and if you're good enough, you go to the next level. But Kenny Pickett's, and like I said earlier, is an easy guy to root for.
Yeah, and we just mentioned in our visit with Phil Dracovic, what an interesting time for the ACC, huh? You had a great quarterback league this season, and as we just noted, there are at least, what, seven or eight guys who right now are penciled in to return that could have a major impact, not only in this league, but also nationally as well.
Well, next year we'll worry about, but, you know, we got 10 bowl games coming up. And I don't want to rehash what happened last year in the bowl season. And, you know, there's no ACC team in the college football playoff for the first time. Florida State did it in year one. Clemson did it for, what, six straight. This year we don't have one. So the bowl season is going to feel a little bit different in these parts versus what we're used to in the college football playoff. I'm curious to see how many ACC teams bring the heat in the postseason. This bowl world, you know, you find out who's in the mood to play and who isn't. It's, I mean, you got 4,000 bowl games. Some teams just kind of roll it out there and say, oh, we just got my parting gifts. Let me get out of here. I think the ACC needs to come to work. You need to make a statement this bowl season as opposed to what happened last year.
Yep. Tomorrow on this show, we'll review not only the night in basketball, two men's games, three on the ladies' card as well. We'll also get our first version of fan hoop accounting. So you can submit them. Use the hashtag Packer and Durham. Tag Mark and I, our ACC network, and we'll chronicle some of the fan accounting. Not only in football, we'll also do basketball as well. See what you got to say. Stay tuned. Mario Cristobal's presser from Coral Gables coming up. We'll be your affable guides through that. It's next on ACCN. Thanks to Drew and Josh and Rich and everybody else for guiding us through this.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.